know everyone enjoys honor. You ever been honored? I know some people sometimes don't like the public recognition for something. But the truth of the matter is, built within man is an appreciation when somebody recognizes that you are valuable. Honor is important. It means to treat someone as valuable. It means to be concerned about someone's welfare. And the scriptures give us, in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 16, it gives us that command for the church and the relationships in the church. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 16, "And honor preferring one another." But did you know that that phrase honor, or this concept of honor, is not just given to the church? The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 2 verse 17, it says, "Honor all men." Or we have a responsibility to show value in every and to every person. And so I think it could be accurately stated that there is to be honor in a home and in a family. Of course, we have the command to children to honor father and mother, right? We know that from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20. We also know it from Ephesians chapter 6. We know that honor is to play an important part in the relationship between children and parents. But I would argue that it goes farther than that. I would argue that all of our relationships within the family ought to be known by honor. Well, I want to be honored, preacher. Well, what is the key then to having honor in your home? And I want to give you the secret tonight, and I want to elaborate on the principle given to us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 12, because the Bible says there that before honor can be present in a relationship, humility must be present. Before honor is humility. We all would like to have honor or be honored. But the secret to honor is humility. And I want to connect the dots for you tonight on that principle as it relates to the family. Because the family matters to God. And God has given us a little secret here that if we can get a grasp on it and we can practice it, we can see honor amongst our relationships in the home. I believe that's important. Strong families are made up of family members, watch this, who are humble. Let me say that statement again. Strong families are made up of family members who are humble. I believe the greatest ingredient for every marriage, for every family relationship, for every sibling relationship in a family, I'm talking about sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about parent and child relationships, I'm talking about marriage relationship between husband and wife, the greatest ingredient is the ingredient of humility. The secret to being honored by others in the home is the attitude of humility. When the world cries power and control and independence, the Bible cries humility. The brilliance of God's design for humanity is that the foundational human relationship, listen closely, which is marriage, is a direct assault on our foundational spiritual problem, which is pride. Pride and independence. So what did God create? God created marriage. What does marriage require? putting somebody else before yourself. What is that the opposite of? Pride. The marriage relationship that God designed is to be an all-out assault on a person's pride and to bring them to humility, which is putting others before ourselves. Huh. Here's the brilliance of God's creation of the marriage relationship. Marriage is a call to grow in humility. Raising children is a call of God to grow in humility. Biblical marriage assaults a man's pride by insisting that he is to put his wife's needs above his own. That's humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3, "But let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves." Verse 4 goes on to say, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You know what you bring into a marriage? You bring into a marriage selfishness. So do I. You know what humility is? A stripping of selfishness and putting somebody else before yourself. By the way, the whole institution of the family is that way. Where is a good operating biblical family? How do I detect that, preacher? It's where every family member's putting another family member before themselves. That's humility. That is the secret to honor. And so likewise, biblical marriage assaults a woman's pride by teaching her to love her husband in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. While the world says she needs to focus on standing up for her own rights, the Bible teaches her to be a helpmeet who comes alongside of her husband and helps her husband and puts his needs before her needs, and he puts her needs before his needs, and both practice humility. By the way, that's God's plan. And by the way, Jesus exemplified that truth. In Matthew 20, verse number 28, it talks about the Son of Man coming not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister, and to give himself a ransom for many. It was a dearly price, it was a dear price to pay, but he looked at the needs of others rather than his own needs. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility." I want to give you some examples of pride and some examples of humility. I have 3 points tonight, examples of pride and humility, expressions of pride and humility, and the end of pride and humility. In the message tonight, I want you to see a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Pride is the deadliest of all sins. It is the root of all evil, and it is the beginning of sin. Every sin that we commit has pride attached to it. It's a very serious matter. Nebuchadnezzar was a prideful man. In fact, he had an image made, and the image was made that people would bow down and worship him. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 19, we see an expression of his pride, because the Bible says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it wont to be heated." Pride was about him. Pride was focused on him getting honor. You know, some homes are built in a wrong way of honor. Some people demand honor in their home. You know, honor is earned. And you know what honor is earned through? It's earned through humility. The Bible says here, before honor is humility. Nebuchadnezzar had the arrogant way of, "You're going to bow to me. You're going to honor me." And when that didn't happen, what was Nebuchadnezzar's response? Volcano. full of fury, the Bible says. And what's he going to do? Turn the furnace 7 times hotter. I'm going to threaten these people so they honor me. Is that the way you get honor? That's not the way we get honor. That's not honor in the Scriptures. Here in Proverbs 27, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. In Daniel chapter 4, the king Nebuchadnezzar spake and said that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. I've done it. I'm going to bring honor to myself. And God made quick work of Nebuchadnezzar. And God took his kingdom. And God made him look like an animal. Until Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of those days, said, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, in verse 34 of Daniel 4, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. In verse 30, he says, it's for my honor. In verse 34, he says, I honored him. There was a heart change. You know what the heart change was? He went from pride to humility. That is the secret to honor. Belshazzar reveals something else about pride that we ought to learn tonight in Daniel chapter 5. It says, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. You should know that in your life, parents, you should know this in your children's life or lives, that when pride is on the throne of the heart, there is a hardening process that takes place. Belshazzar, when his heart was lifted up, that's pride. The Bible says his mind hardened in pride. When a person is full of pride, you're not going to tell that person anything. You're not going to teach that person anything. What has happened is their mind has hardened by the pride that is in their heart. Boy, that is a real dangerous combination. Somebody gets pride in their heart and a hardened mind, and you got something that no one can work with. And God couldn't work with Belshazzar. By the way, he took his kingdom in a night. God said, this man's helpless. I'm not going to help this man. The best thing I can do is take his kingdom and his life. And he did it in a night. His pride. Pride has a hardening effect on the mind. And it steals honor from a man. Here's Belshazzar, king of Babylon. But by the end of the night, he wasn't. Watch this. The very thing that a prideful man wants, which is honor, is the very thing that God takes from him. This is a real dangerous sin. It made Belshazzar miserable. It took him from a pinnacle in his life to a pit. Pride. The very thing that he was striving for was the very thing that God took from him. Because pride has a hardening effect and it steals honor from the person who has it. King Uzziah is another example in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He was used in Jerusalem to really build up the nation. In fact, if you read through the chapter of 26, you'll find that he was constantly building and things were constantly growing and he was successful beyond measure. But the Bible says in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Wait a second. If we know anything about the temple and the sacrificial system, was the king allowed to go in and offer sacrifices? No, that was the priest's job. You know what else pride does? Pride begins to breathe into your heart and into your mind that you're the exception to the rule. Here's Uzziah. Uzziah's king. Uzziah's had success. And Uzziah, because of all of his success, began to think, well, I can do what the priest does. I'm certainly king. I mean, God will understand that. And he did. Except he wasn't the exception to the rule. There's always a payment plan with God when you do wrong. And Uzziah became a leper. You know, the sad thing about Uzziah's life is this. He wasn't known as the king that helped build Jerusalem and build the nation of Israel. You want to know what his epitaph was in 2 Chronicles 26? It was that everybody knew him as a leper. Watch this. All of his relationships in life, at the end of his life, he was segregated from everybody. Lepers, remember, were not allowed inside the town. Lepers were quarantined. Lepers were put out. Lepers were, you know what? They got to stay away from everybody. This is the king. This is the guy that has helped Israel all these years. But because of pride, his honor is taken away. Because he thinks he's the exception to the rule. Oh, folks, we better beware of this sin. Because when it grabs an individual, it also gets the attention of God. The children of Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, another example. God speaks to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and he talks about leading them into the 40 years in the wilderness. And here's what he says was the purpose of that: to humble thee. Look, if you will, at verse number 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. Or verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to what? To humble thee. And to prove thee. And to know what was in thine heart. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. And suffered thee to hunger. And fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. And it goes on. Now look down verse number 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. A land of brooks of water. And of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, and a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse number 13, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and what? And forget the Lord thy God. You know what else we learn through these examples of pride? That it's easy when your heart is lifted up to forget God. Men, have you forgotten your need of God in your family? Oh, I mean, the job's good. I mean, the paycheck comes in every week. I mean, the bills are being paid. I mean, you're living in America. Have you forgotten that you need God in your marriage? Have you forgotten that you need God in raising kids? Pride forgets God. Pride forgets the need of God. The Bible says the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Do you talk to God about any of those matters? I'm talking day by day. Do you talk to God about your marriage? About what you should be in your marriage? Do you talk to God about being a father? Do you admit to God, God, I don't have all the answers? God, I see some dangers for my kids. God, there's some decisions that they're going to make that are really, really big. And Lord, if we don't have you in them, Lord, it's going to be a mess. God, I need you. Children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when they were lifted up, when they were full of everything, they forgot. Gentlemen, ladies, do you see that you need God? I mean hour by hour. I mean in your work every day. I mean in your decision making. I mean in your walk. You need him to talk to you. You need him to speak to you. And you need him to show you truth. You need him to guard your way and your path. You're prone to wonder. I'm prone to wonder. Do you see that you need God? Pride doesn't. Pride lives one day after another without. Yeah. Everything's good. Boy, when everything's good, brethren, that's a dangerous place. When your barns are filled with plenty, when your flocks multiply, when you have a land of wheat and barley and vines, beware. Beware of your heart getting lifted up. Beware of forgetting God. Pride forgets God and the need for him. Another example of pride is Satan, the author of it. Isaiah 14 asks the question, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Well, here's the answer. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." I. One big letter in our English language. That controls us. And it controlled Satan. On the other side of things, we have King Josiah and King Hezekiah, who both were known for their humility. And I want you to see this. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 27, as we look at a couple examples of humility tonight. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 27. God is speaking to Josiah, King Josiah. And he says this, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof." And let me get this straight. Let me just make it real clear, God says. "And humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord." Josiah, in contrast to Uzziah, and in contrast to Belshazzar, and in contrast to King Nebuchadnezzar, and in contrast to the children of Israel, heard the words of the Lord. And instead of being hardened, he was tender. And he was humble. And of course, Josiah prayed for mercy, and God said, "I've heard you." He was humble. We have the example of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. "Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." Do you realize that in Hezekiah's life, his humility actually restrained the wrath of God because he humbled himself before God? Hear me. Humility is a very serious matter before God. The examples, but secondly, I want you to look at the expression of pride and humility. The expression of it, and I want to deal with it particularly in the home. How is pride expressed in the home? How is pride expressed in our relationships? How is humility expressed in those things? If humility is the secret to honor, and I want honor in my home, and I want honor in my relationships, then I better know how pride comes out in my life, and I better know how humility comes out in my life. And there's a stark contrast. Pride is characterized through stubbornness, through anger, through demands, through blame shifting, through contention. This is how pride is manifest in the home. Pride never says, "I am wrong." Ma'am, can I ask you a question tonight? Has your husband or your children ever heard the words out of your mouth, I was wrong. Husbands, let me ask you a question. Fathers, has anybody in your home ever heard the words, I was wrong? Because let me tell you, they should hear those words. That if they've never heard those words, let me be direct tonight, you got a problem with pride. Because pride never says, I was wrong. Those are hard words. But you know what? You want honor? You better learn how to say those words. You better learn how to admit when you're wrong. Pride is unapproachable. Pride is unteachable. Pride is defensive. Somebody tries to help you in your home. A parent tries to come along and say, hey, we need to give some attention to this. Hey, this needs to change. Hey, you can't act that way. Hey, you shouldn't be watching that. But a prideful young person, don't talk to me. And you may not say it, you may just express it. Just turn a deaf ear. Just act like you're doing something else. Pride is unteachable. It's unapproachable. It's defensive. It's focused on self. Pride is characterized by having to win at all costs. Pride steps over other family members to get one's own way. Pride is manifested by a constant critical jab in the home at others. That's pride. I got to knock somebody down in order to exalt myself. That's pride. Brethren, hear me tonight. Pride is not the secret to honor. Humility is the secret to honor. Pride doesn't accept rebuke from anyone. Pride is controlling. Pride deals in wrath. Pride is manifested by making threats against family members. That's pride. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Wrath and pride are twins. The sad thing is, pride's deceptive. You can't tell somebody they have a problem with pride. Who, me? I want you to turn to Jeremiah, if you will. Look at a couple passages with me there. Jeremiah chapter 49. Sir, ma'am, young person, we give the Bible, and the Bible is a mirror. So the Bible's a mirror tonight. And it is a mirror to reveal whether or not you are living your life and your heart is set on humility. Or whether you are living your life and it's being manifest through pride. And if we can look in the mirror honestly, and God reveals that our life revolves around pride, and we can address that and change our heart. My, we have made great strides in our family when that is addressed. Jeremiah chapter 49, look at verse 16. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and what else? And the pride of thine heart. Last phrase, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. You know why God has to bring them down? Because they can't see the pride problem. They're deceived. They can't see that there's an issue of pride in their own hearts. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. It's a serious matter because it's deceptive. But pride puts you and your family on the wrong side of God as well. Jeremiah chapter 50, go to chapter 50 and verse 31. The Bible says, behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. There are seven things that are an abomination to the Lord in Proverbs 6. You know what's first on the list? A proud look. God can't stand it. So hear me. If you are living in your home relationships and there are manifestations of pride, you know what you're actually doing? You are setting God against your family. That, my friend, is a big deal. When I'm on the wrong side of God, and I want you to know that God actively fights against the proud person. He resisteth him, the Bible says. He says, the time is now that I will visit thee. And listen, when you're prideful and God visits, you don't want God's visit. He's going to bring you low. Can you imagine anything worse than fighting God? You never win that battle. No man has ever won that battle. God fights for the humble. We all love to win. We love to win battles in our home. But are you ready to give up the grace of God on your family for winning? Well, preacher, I win every argument. Yeah. And you're creating an opposition with God on behalf of your family. Is the argument worth it? Well, preacher, I just have to dig in my heels in my marriage. If I'm going to get anything, if anything's going to happen in my favor, I just got to plant my feet. Yeah, really? You know who you're planting your feet against? God. Your pride's a stench to Him. And it's putting you and your family in opposition to God. Because God is actively fighting against those that are proud. You may think you're winning, but you're not. Well, I got to show them who's the authority. Yeah, you want to know the secret? Before honor is humility. Why don't you try a different path for a while? Why don't you try the path of humility? Why don't you get on the side where God gives grace to the humble instead of resisting the proud? Pride makes a person helpless. Look at Jeremiah 50, verse 32. The proud shall stumble and fall. The most proud shall stumble and fall. What's the next phrase? And none shall what? Raise him up. What's the scripture teaching us here? You're not going to help a proud person. When God takes that person low, when He brings him low, no man's going to raise him up. Nobody's going to deliver you, watch this, from the consequences of pride in your life and in your family. And the very thing that you want, honor and respect, is the very thing that you will constantly be looking for in your family, and you will never get it. That's what the scripture says. Ephesians 4, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible begins with lowliness in verse number 1. And the Bible ends with forgiveness in one of the greatest chapters on relationships in all of Scripture. Look at verse number 2 of Ephesians chapter 4. We are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all what? With all lowliness. That's humility. That's a synonym for humility in your King James Version. And then verse number 32, what does humility look like then, preacher? We spend a lot of time looking at the expressions of pride, but what does humility look like? Well, kindness one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Humility is characterized by forgiveness. Humility is characterized by going the extra mile. Humility is characterized by admission of wrong. Humility is characterized by submissiveness. Tenderness, giving a family member another chance, allowing a family member to have a fresh start, recognizing your family members as better than yourself. Humility puts other family members first. Humility works toward making peace, not content to live in conflict. Humility can't do that. Humility has no battle to win. Humility credits someone else for their success. Humility is the inward quality that refuses to argue and raise my voice at family members out of pride. Humility says, I'm sorry. Humility says, it's me standing in the need of prayer in my family. Humility never looks at a responsibility in the home too low to fulfill. Humility sees a need and meets a need. If the toilet needs scrubbed and the wife or the child doesn't get to it, humility says, I'll take care of that. Humility accepts being last. Humility focuses on service, not satisfaction. Humility lays one's own desires down for the good of other family members. Humility considers others ahead of oneself. Humility doesn't fight for one's rights and doesn't have to defend oneself or prove a point. That's a tough list. Anybody ever sense the battle in your heart between pride and humility? In your relationship in your home this week, children, have you sensed that battle? Mama, have you sensed that battle? Dad, have you sensed that battle? It's a real battle. It's a real battle that's going on in the lives of every one of us. So many virtues flow from the quality called humility: respectfulness, kindness, generosity, compassion, patience. All are tied to humility. Parents, how in the world do we build humility into our children? Because guess what? If they grow up and they haven't learned humility, what kind of home are they going to have? Not a happy one. Not an honorable one. Honor's not going to be present. Because it can't without humility. Then stay away from pride. Because the Bible says where there's pride, mark it down, there's coming something with it. There's a companion to it you're not going to like. And it's shame. But with the lowly is what? Wisdom. Ooh, that's a sharp contrast, isn't it? It's a sharp contrast. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22, verse 28, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou may bringest them down. You know what else is associated with this path of pride? Not only destruction, not only shame, but you got God's attention in a wrong way. His eyes now are upon your life with the purpose of bringing you down. Watch this. God knows how to do that. Study Nebuchadnezzar. Study Belshazzar. Study Uzziah. Study the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. God knows how to get a prideful person, get their attention. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit, according to Proverbs 29, verse 23. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Watch this. This is how our brains work in opposition to the Bible. Man, if I get right with my kids or my wife on that, what are they going to think of me? You know what they're going to think of you? Your stock's going to go up. You know what's going to happen with God? He's going to exalt you. But you know what keeps us from being humble and becoming humble? We're afraid of what others are going to think. when we ought to be renewed in our minds according to Scripture that, you know what, if I follow Bible here and I make a wrong right, you know what God's going to do in due time? He's going to exalt me. He's going to lift me up. He's going to extend grace to me. He's going to give honor where humility is present. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. God respects the humble. But the Bible says, but the proud he knoweth afar off. They're distant from him. And they're not going to get close to him with a proud heart. You know how you get close to God? You get close to God by changing your heart from pride to humility.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.